Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers. Those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. They use terms like we must accept a greater government activity in the affairs of the people. This was the very thing the founding fathers sought to minimize. They knew that governments don't control things. A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when a government sets out to do that, it must use the full power of centralized government. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape. This is the last stand on Earth.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for listening to the Two Doomed Men podcast and the Sergeant Samurai podcast. No captain today, so instead it is Skaggs and the Samurai. I'm joined by the Samurai himself, Garrett Holtzberry. What's up, buddy?
What is up? I'm super excited to go on because we've had some good debates via text message as of lately on Antarctica. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I'm going to bring it up. And then, yeah, man, I've been looking forward to get on to you because, you know, I'm a listener of your guys' podcast as well. I listen to, you know, pretty much I'm listening. I think I just finished the Unfit Statesman one.
Okay.
So, yeah, I always listen. So I like how you always throw my name out there sometimes. So I'm I just want to be like, yo, motherfucker, get me on. Let's go.
Let's do it. Yeah, fitting, right? Fitting, right, that we've been debating lately, because one of the main topics we're going to talk about tonight is debating, or perhaps the lack of debating in the scientific community. And I guess our main topic is going to be somebody that we haven't really spoken much about on the podcast so far. And that's Robert Kennedy Jr. Mm-hmm. And his appearance on Joe Rogan, and then kind of a follow-up Twitter exchange regarding Dr. Peter Hotez kind of getting challenged to debate him on the vaccine stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. I know Hunter Biden's, you know, he's been indicted now, I guess, right? Federally for
he pled. Well, he got a plea deal. We can dive into that in a little bit, but I mean, that's a whole fucking sham as it is. So
yeah. Also, we got some interesting news out of Ukraine again with Vladimir Putin. He met with the South African president and delegation, and he showed them an interesting document. We'll get into that a little bit later. So let's start here, man. I haven't gotten your thoughts generally so far on RFK Jr. I really like him a lot so far. What do you think about RFK Jr.?
He's hard to listen to because his voice is tougher than mine. So he has that, like, he is very hard to listen to speak. So I think that turns some people off. I know it turned me off forever, but like, you know what I actually did is I listened to the Rogan podcast sped up, and it's almost like it makes them clear. So, plus I'm always jammed for time. So I do listen to podcasts in like fast forward sometimes.
Two times speed. I can't.
Yeah. Think. Like one, you know, anywhere from 1.5 to 2 times speed, just so I can get through the information quicker with the amount of time allotted for me. RFK, I mean, he's been around doing his thing for a long time. Obviously, he comes from a American dynasty, I guess you can call it, or, you know, I mean,
the political Kennedy family.
Yeah, I mean, the Kennedy name's pretty much the same as apple pie or baseball in United States. So, I mean, I'm always willing to listen to anybody. And I think that's a big disconnect that we get from the other side, because I know me and you we're very open. And I might even I know I'm more open on a lot of things than you are, just because I look at things from all different realms, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, realms is an appropriate word, I'd say.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, I'm just very you know, how they say, you know, conservatives are closed-minded. I'm very open-minded. I'm very hippy-dippy. I'm into rocks and shit like that. Like, so, you know, I think for people to just not listen to the man and try to take their own take without, you know, being worried about being called an anti, you know, whatever and stuff. We're trying to keep it so we can stay on YouTube, right? So, you know, I mean, I think that's just the shoddiness of, like, your argument is only as good as your talking points. And then when your talking points get shut down, you just go, well, I can't debate you because you're just nonsense, you know? So, I mean, I think that's kind of, you know, the landscape he's been put in for quite some time. But with the pandemic happening and him dropping his book and him doing everything else, I think people are more open and susceptible because now they realize that, hey, we might not be getting the whole truth and we should probably look into this.
Yeah, I'd say for myself, definitely. Perhaps before the pandemic and everything I've learned since then, I would have maybe not been as open to some of the things he said. But now with most people, my entire worldview has been shattered the past.
Oh, yeah. Now you have different antennas on your tinfoil hat, man.
So RFK went on Joe Rogan's podcast, and boy, it was a controversial one. We are not doctors, so me and Garrett are not going to get into the weeds of what RFK spoke about. As I usually say to Captain, I find like the reaction to things is always sometimes more interesting than the thing itself.
I think it's more telling sometimes too, guys. You know, like when they go so hard, especially everything we've learned over, you know, I mean, I've been down this way for a long time, but like, let's just say for the normies and people just, you know, like since the pandemic hit, I think people's radar is a lot more sensitive nowadays. And when you start seeing people getting shut down and thrown stuff at all the time, you're like, wait a second, why is this happening? Because they did it to me. They did it to you. They did it to our shows. They did it to our channels, and we were like, yo, we weren't even spitting on that ain't fucking, you know, Hunter Biden got locked up, and that was one of my strikes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not locked up. But
it was
like, you know,
Russian disinformation you were
hearing.
Yeah, no,
right? I put, did you?
51, whatever the fuck they said.
Intelligence agency heads. Yeah, I was busting your balls the other day. You're like, do you believe in this? I'm like, there is no possible way 51 agent said this is fucking disinformation.
Yeah we'll save the Antarctica debate for Steven and Captain when they're all here together.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, so RFK was on Rogan's podcast. I highly recommend everybody go and listen to it with an open mind and form your own opinion because you're adults. That's the way we treat you, like adults. We're not going to sit here and tell you can't, you know, what to think. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. He spoke a lot about vaccines. He said some controversial things about vaccines, not just the COVID-19 vaccine, but vaccines in general. Mm-hmm. And this has ignited a shitstorm around RFK. And I think it's also interesting, Garrett, maybe you'll agree with me here. This has been good for him to an extent, RFK.
1,000%.
The shitstorm has kind of forced his name into the discussion generally, like in society, and into the corporate press discussion, because now they're talking shit about him and whatnot, but now they're talking about him. It reminds me a lot about Trump in the beginning, back in 2016.
Well, did you notice too, and I didn't even know this, that Trump put him on like the vaccine task force?
Something I did not know either.
I didn't know that either, right? And you know, when we're both pretty much in the know looking at this stuff all the time because of the shows we do, and we just like to be informed, you know, populace and not uninformed voters, right? And I thought that was very telling. And I think it's very weird that, you know, Roger Stone said, oh, that this might be a ticket, even though Kennedy was like, fuck this. But at the same time, Donnie was like best friends with Johnny Jr., right? That's his cousin.
I think so. Yeah.
And then he puts him on the vaccine test force. So basically he worked for his administration. So how far off are they?
Right. That's what I was thinking, too. Like,
do you know what I'm saying?
Perhaps RFK saying he is not, you know, he said him and Trump are not the same. He's not like whatever Trump believes in is not the same things he believes in. But perhaps that's because he's running for president right now and he doesn't even want to entertain being someone else's vice president because he wants to, you know, put on that persona that he's going to win.
No, 100%. But when you listen to him speak on Rogan, you're like, he does think a lot of same about a lot of things.
Yes.
I was like, man, I agree with him on a lot of things.
Right.
You know,
and there should be a good, healthy skepticism of him as well. He said a couple crazy things on guns. You know, he's changed his position on guns. And some people won't want to trust someone for doing something like that. But then at the same time, I don't know. I changed a lot of my positions the last couple of years too.
So I agree with you 100% on that. And I was even going to, you know, just say, like, as an example, like, you went from a Bernie bro to an anarchist.
Right.
That's one of the most drastic changes that you can honestly make. And it took 3 short years.
Right.
So it took your whole worldview of 30 years before that, or what, you know, whatever it is, 25 years to 3 years, where you're like, fuck this noise. Like, I was lied to. And I still might not believe, you know, as crazy shit as Garrett, and I still might not do this, but we're on the same page with 90% of our fucking viewpoints.
Right. So that's right? Not like impossible for a human to do, especially given the past 3 years. And if we just want to use, to those who want to maybe like dismiss RFK because he's a Democrat and be like, mm-hmm. Oh, he's probably just saying the populist stuff to try and get elected right now. I don't know. Like, I heard what he had to say about guns, and, you know, he basically said, look, it's too divisive. We're not going to go and take anybody's guns away because of the point the country's at right now. Like, it'll cause a civil war. I mean,
that's, you know, a pretty honest fucking opinion.
Fucking opinion or position. He's not wrong.
And I agree with him.
Right.
I agree with him on that 100%. I mean, that's something we agree on. But at the same time, he is a Democrat, right? But at the same time, like, his uncle would have been a far right wing extremist.
Yeah, of course.
At this point. So there are Democrats that, you know, were the middle of the road, just like a lot of Republicans are. And that's kind of where the libertarians fall in between those two, right? They have the liberal live and live constitution, this, that. So, you know, for a long time, there was this section, if we put it on a line, where it was like far left, far right, moderates, libertarians in the middle. He probably fell somewhere closer to here, where he could have almost been like a libertarian, right? Like a Rand Paul or something like that.
This week, he's going to be speaking at Pork Fest up in New Hampshire, which is like the libertarian festival. RFK is going to be speaking there, right? He's trying to win people over. He is trying to win over the libertarians because he sounds a lot like a libertarian, to be honest with you, on a lot of the positions he's taken, even in terms of like free markets and capitalism and climate change.
How does family get all the money? Free markets.
Capitalism. Markets, right. Yeah.
That's why they sit at the vineyard.
Yeah, the vineyard. Yeah.
You know, the vineyard. So, I mean, even these guys that are, you know, I mean, and he's not my favorite, but we're just putting people out there like Joe McTuchen or whatever. He's a Democrat out of West Virginia, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's a moderate, but now he's almost like he doesn't even know where he is in his own party. Now, does
Joe Manchin? Yeah,
Manchin. That's it. But does he toe the line on certain things? Yes, he does, because he's still in the party, you know. Right. But at the same time, like, you know, and I know some of these guys, they don't fucking, and ladies, they don't fucking believe in all this shit, and they're just trying to keep their job, their salary, the money fucking flowing in, and they're trying to voice their opinions on there, but we all know that they say one thing and vote another way, or they add they're trying to get their little pet projects fucking slipped in a 20,000 page bill, and I mean, this is where the system is broken, because, you know, I think a lot of people get in, not all of them, but, you know, a lot of people hunger for the power and the fame and the money and everything else, but there are a certain sector of people that get in this to try to affect change, and I think the machine is so out of whack and so tilt, like, they get in and they're like, oh no, like, I can't do anything, and now I just have to survive without them trying to make me a pedophile, without them saying I raped some chick, without them saying I'm marrying my brother, without them saying I'm doing this. Yeah. Because once you get into that high level, like, they're just coming for you, and people are always like, Garrett, why don't you run? Because I'm like, I don't want that shit in my life.
Right.
And it's tough. And I fight the way I know best for me, where I'm not going to be censored. I'm going to be able to say what I want. Now, I will hopefully, maybe I can influence somebody in one way to think some way that can affect change or has something. But, like, yeah, man, it has no appeal to me, even though I put myself in the positions where I have to deal with the people because I need to see change. Right. But, like, I mean,
it's a massive undertaking to ask somebody to, like, why don't you run for us? Someone asked me that recently. Like, why don't you run for office? I had the exact same reaction. I want to ruin my fucking life. going through that whole thing. Like, I'd rather just be on the podcast about it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. for five grand for town council a year or something, like, in the time. And, you know, we have kids and everything else. But then people are like, that's why you need to do it. But it's so funny because it's the same people that want to yell at you and tell you that you need to do it that won't do it themselves.
Right. Or perhaps they're not doing anything at all.
At all.
Right.
Yeah. Like, barely even shit posting.
Yeah. Everyone has a role to play, right? Like,
they're silently liking you in the DMs, you know? Like, yeah. I can't tell my boss I like this dink, you know? Like, right, shit like that. I'm like, shut up, you puss.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of this year, man, because we're talking about censorship, and this is kind of tied to this. So now, this conversation, this podcast happens with RFK and Joe Rogan, and they mention Dr. Peter Hotez on there. You're not familiar with him, I don't think, are you, Dr. Peter Hotez?
I've full disclosure, like, I've just seen like the highlight clips of him looking like an asshat.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think Rogan's had him on.
He has, right. So I've listened
to some of it, but just full disclosure, I haven't listened to the whole thing.
Sure. So Dr. Peter Hotez is like a vaccine doctor in a sense. He's like had a hand in developing all the new stuff, and he was like really big during COVID. He was on Rogan years ago, like when COVID first began. And I remember listening to that episode, and he was saying
a big push on the mRNA, right?
Yes, he's let's just put it this way. He's saying everything a pro-COVID regime doctor scientist
supposed to say.
But let's start with that, right? Because that also shows that Joe Rogan is pretty fair. He'll have anyone on the show. He'll have Dr. Peter Hotez on the show, who is pro-COVID regime, and he'll have RFK Jr., who is the complete polar opposite of that. So. Mm-hmm. In the podcast with RFK, they mentioned Dr. Peter Hotez, and they talked a little bit of shit about him to an extent, about his policies and like kind of his whole behavior throughout the whole thing. And this got a response from so I'm going to Twitter here now.
These
basically are my tweets of the week. It's just so interesting because Joe Rogan has finally, after years of not using Twitter really or saying anything, I mean, just out of nowhere, he's gotten involved. I said, like, Rogan's finally decided to go to war. After years.
Yes. Yeah. I think his hands have been tied so long that I just think the man that he is with the combat, you know, like the jiu-jitsu and this and that and being outspoken and a comedian, like, he sat on his hands and he played ball long enough. But I think he either realizes what's at stake or somebody's pushing him to be like, you have this much power. You need to do this.
Yeah, he could have also just been so red-pilled by the exchange with RFK, he felt compelled to do something here. Mm-hmm. So Professor Hotez, Dr. Hotez, he tweeted, Spotify has stopped even sort of trying to stem Joe Rogan's vaccine misinformation. It's really true, just awful. And from all the online attacks I'm receiving after this absurd podcast, it's clear many actually believe this nonsense. And he's linking to some of it. So Joe Rogan quote tweets this, and he goes, Peter, if you claim what RFK Jr. is saying is misinformation, I'm offering you $100,000 to the charity of your choice if you're willing to debate him on my show with no time limit. To which
pretty fair.
Yep, pretty fair. So to follow up on that, too, other people piled on and offered hundreds of thousands of dollars as well. I think like Tim Pool offered $100,000.
Yeah.
Patrick Bet-David offered a couple hundred grand. So it got up to like $3.5 million at this point. Which is the offer to go to charity for whatever Dr. Hotez wants.
And what's his excuse for being a pussy?
Yeah. Yeah. So Dr. Hotez responds, Joe, you have my cell, my email. I'm always willing to speak with you. Joe goes, this is a non-answer. I challenge you publicly because you publicly quote tweeted and agreed with that dog shit Vice article. If you're really serious about what you stand for, you now have a massive opportunity for debate that will reach the largest audience a discussion like this has ever had. If you think someone else is better qualified, suggest that person. And Rogan continues on to say, by the way, I saw this tweet that you deleted where Peter Hotez said, be serious, Joe. That's what you throw out. That's what you throw out for your hunting buddies on a weekend. A $50 million endowment, which you, Spotify, RFK Jr. can easily afford. Not for me, but so we can continue making low-cost, patent-free vaccines for the world's poor, preceded by RFK Jr.'s public apology. I mean, it's just bizarre.
Oh, $3 million isn't enough. $100,000 isn't enough. But you need to put, $50 million up to just have this conversation?
Why? There's no, I mean, we'll get into why people think there's a downside, but in my opinion, there's no downside.
No, there isn't. Yeah. You're either going to make him look like a fool or you're going to be exposed.
So last Rogan tweet I'll read here on his little warpath is a response to another doctor called Tom Nichols. I believe he's a doctor or maybe not a doctor. He's like somebody who talks to doctors often. And Tom Nichols kind of like perfectly encapsulates here the let's just say the regime's response to this challenge, where Tom Nichols goes, no medical professional should ever agree to do this. Never. It elevates the conspiracy guy, demeans the medical professional, and will only convince the kooks out there that RFK is right because a real doctor took the time to debate him. Never debate a conspiracy theorist. To which Joe Rogan responds, and he goes, that would be a great suggestion if you could assure that the industry you were representing wasn't completely captured by heartless monsters who have a history of some of the biggest criminal finds in human history, because their deception has cost hundreds of thousands of people their lives. It would be a great suggestion if the industry you were defending didn't occasionally look at human beings as an opportunity to generate insane wealth, regardless of the tragic consequences. But you can't do that. So maybe it would be a good idea to have the fucking debate. Awesome, man. It's fucking really awesome.
Well played there, Rogan. Well played. But, you know, that's like you said, that guy towed the line like, oh, you're not even worth my debate, right?
Essentially, that's what he said. Like, argument. Oh, not just him. That's what they're all saying.
But if see, this is the problem where I have a real problem, and it happens a lot, and it happened a lot in the past 3 years, where people think they are so much smarter than you because they have a medical degree, right? Now, is there one thing that a medical degree has shown me over the years and with all this other stuff? You're slick, bro. That's all you are, is you're slick. Now, has there been medical professionals that have done fantastic things? Yes. Nobody's taking that away. There's so many things. My middle son wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for modern medicine, right? And I had some of the best doctors and everything else. But I'm telling you, those same doctors, if we got into a Jimmy Jab debate, they wouldn't be as educated as myself or you are on a lot of the issues. And because they do what they're told, they do what was paid for to be written into the journal. Because perfect example, Dr. Peter McCullough, most published fucking medical expert, cardiologist, all time, worldwide. They disowned him like he was a loony cook when everybody's been using his literature. Everybody's been using his studies. Everybody's been using his techniques up until that time.
Yeah,
but now he's a fucking wackadoo.
Not just him, but Dr. Robert Malone, right? I'm not going to say that like doctors don't know as much as us, but you know, it's easy to say like a statement.
I'm not
like
saying that either. I'm just saying like they're normal fucking human beings.
Yes, they're normal human beings, and it's also easy to say like, well, you know, we shouldn't debate these kooks because you know, let's say the other quote they use like 99% of us agree. Well, yeah, when you fucking censor any other doctor who doesn't agree, then yeah, it appears like 99.
So now we're aware of that.
Yeah, one of the points I made was like, all right, well, how about we have Dr. Malone debate Dr. Hotez there, right? It's a doctor. He's professional.
And they're both mRNA guys.
Right. You exactly. Right. So, I mean, would that be more acceptable? Obviously, it's not going to be more acceptable because what they're interested in is not like.
Why don't we have a round table debate?
Should, yeah. I'm all for
right?
it. Yeah.
Because, I mean, apparently the head of the NIH and the head of all epidemiology and Fauci and all them, anytime, you know, Kennedy asked them a question, they were like, yeah, did the fake look through the file? We'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Never send it to you. And then they have to sue for the documents. And then the documents, they have to admit that they don't have them.
Yeah. It's bizarre. That is one of the most interesting things I think came from the podcast with RFK, is that meeting between him and Fauci. And him being very combative with Fauci from the get-go. I think,
and like he said, as like what do you call it, like a receive or what, pre-context or whatever. Like his fucking uncle, like Fauci, his uncle was writing Fauci's checks, right? like he knows each other. Like it,
they know each other, right?
His family is like the head, like the Stryver, Maria Stryver, and all them. Like there's medical buildings named after these guys because they've done so much for the medical field and everything else. So it's not like they haven't walked in these circles together.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it's I don't know. I find it very telling, and like I said, I find it very weird how like Trump threw him on as the vaccine guy for his administration, had him go toe to toe with his buddy who basically, you know, has been in that position since the 70s or 80s, you know, and, you know, has family ties with them, and they're still lying to each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It'll be something like, that we should keep an eye on. That's very showing. Yeah. It's something that we kind of, we got to keep an eye on it, right? Going forward. Let's see if that amounts to anything. Let's see if, like, if Roger Stone was perhaps right. And, you know, the backlash after was, you know, just bluff or something like that. I want to get back real quick to the idea that you can't debate on this topic. Mm-hmm. It's just so insane that, like, you can't. That's what science is, right? Science is debate. You question hypotheses and you put them to the test. RFK is not some sort of kook or something like that. Like, if you listen to the episode, and one of the you'll see, and one of the things I tend to really like about him so much, you could tell like he's read a book on these things, you know, or he's very well educated on the topic. He's not an idiot. Now, some of the things he said concern even me. I don't fucking know, right? Like I'm not a person, a doctor, I haven't studied this to the lengths like autism and things like that to the lengths that some other people have. But the things that RFK said are concerning to me, especially being a new dad and having a child who's got to go through the whole vaccine schedule. So as someone who is in that position and now heard this point of view from RFK, it would be beneficial for Dr. Hotez to go up there and then debate him. Because then me, as the listener, will listen to both of these guys go at it. Both of them make their points and their opinions. And then I will make my my decision based on hearing both sides of the story. Instead, they're spinning
it as... Well, that's the intelligent thing to do.
Correct, correct. But instead, the regime, including Hotez here, is like, no, you can't do it. No one's mind will be changed. You shouldn't debate conspiracy theorists. It's dangerous. It's fucking dangerous. They're saying it's dangerous. It's dangerous to not do it because then you're... If what RFK is saying is dangerous, then you should have the... the calling, right, to go there and make sure you check him to protect people.
And you should
people.
Have the ammo to just go in and shoots fired and
especially
shoot
if you're
him down.
Fucking specialist, the expert in this field. It should be easy.
Yeah.
It should be fucking
you should be
easy.
Like, this is easy pickings, low hanging fruit, baby. So, I mean, this being said, and you know, the funny thing, not the funny thing, but, you know, 95% of the stuff that he was talking about on there, I've been screaming from the rooftop to my friends for years. And you know, they get the anti-vaxxer label, and that's like, you know, that's how, you know, to me, the anti-vaxxer is just how everybody calls you a racist. That can't
a pejorative that dismisses you easily.
Yes, it's just that's what it's another word. Like they're like, oh, you're racist. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're that. Like anti-vaxxer to me is just another badge of honor that I'm like, all right, whatever, man. I don't give a shit. And this is the thing. Like I've had all my scheduled vaccines up until I was able to make the choices of not getting them for myself, right? Because you know our parents didn't know any better, right? I have three children and, you know, yeah, we don't do it because we've seen a lot of our friends' kids get the shots and then become autistic. We've seen a lot of our friends' kids, and acquaintances and people we know, we've had their, you know, after their second birthday, their kids die after, you know, getting the thing. So we've been speaking out about this before COVID. So, you know, we've been rallying and doing that stuff, myself and my wife. But, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where it's everybody's personal choice. Like,
you're right.
I would just like to have the information out there. So if you want to say, okay, all this shit's in there, they don't have to test them. There's nobody regulating them and they have zero responsibility to you or your family if shit hits the fucking fan. OK, Okay. That right there should be very telling for you.
The liability shield.
Is the liability shield, but also the creation of it, how they don't have to show any studies, do anything. They just throw it out there. So I can fucking go in my in my basement, take my Anarchy's cookbook, cook up a fucking vaccine if I have a goddamn, if there's Merck written across my forehead. And then I can go out there and just put it out there and make billions of dollars. And you know what? Oh, you grew a four hour, you turned the frogs gay. Like, it ain't my fault or whatever, man. And I make my money.
And none of that would be possible if it wasn't for the power of the state ensuring that that's the case. If we truly did have some sort of free market system, there'd be no such thing as a liability shield. Like, if you did something like that, you made a bad product that damaged people, boy, there are going to be consequences, lawsuits. Well, I mean, at minimum, your fucking product's not going to be mandated to be consumed by every person.
Well, that's how they make their money, is because they just get on the scheduled vaccine fucking thing, and it's insane. That's insane. It's another open piggy bank on this fucking corrupt bullshit.
Yep. And for a country that's like, you know, they're always talking about democracy and, you know, protecting it and freedom. Like,
cool. We take the most drugs and we're the sickest fucking nation on the planet. They don't have these problems in these other countries.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, as an adult, you are allowed to, in a free country, hear all sides of a fucking debate and then make up your mind.
Make your own decision.
You think that people are children and they should be treated as such, like that you're a child, Garrett. You can't be
trusted
to make a decision for you and your family. Or that, like, if you listen to something, you would not think critically about it because, I don't know, the person's a conspiracy theorist. Like, that's not true. I mean, I have a personal example of, you know, let's get real quick into flat earth stuff. We had on our podcast, Flat Earth Dave.
Yep. I had him on mine.
You had him on too. I love Flat Earth Dave. I think he's fucking funny. I think he's a cool guy and he's an anarchist. So I fucks with him. On a philosophical level. I don't agree with him on the flat earth stuff. And I was skeptical of him.
NASA put out the flat earth map on their website?
Let's not go down that rabbit hole. Hold on. Let me finish my story. Let me finish my story. I watched Flat Earth Dave debate Professor Dave. I don't like Professor Dave. Professor Dave has a fucking, he's like, he's a little bit of a snob. He talks arrogant down to people at times, a little bit arrogant. But I've seen Professor Dave's YouTube channel before. It's called, like, Professor Dave Explains Things. And he kind of does what Flat Earth Dave, but he's an actual professor, like an accredited professor. And they debated each other. And I have to be honest with you, I watch it with an open mind. Professor Dave completely mopped the floor with Flat Earth Dave to the point where there was, like, times where Flat Earth Dave had nothing to say. Besides, like, hey, you're being mean, in a sense. Like, he couldn't defend himself. So I came out of watching that debate and being like, yeah, like, you could tell who's right here and who's wrong just by watching it, even though I didn't like the guy who was right and I liked the guy who was wrong.
But that's okay. You got to have that discourse, I feel like.
So it's not true that people can't watch something like that and then make the right choice or whatever, make an independent decision, like that they're only rooting for their side or something like that, whatever it is these people say. To be honest with you, it sounds like projection. It seems like if Hotez, for example, were to go and do this debate and he were to have the floor completely mopped with him, they wouldn't believe it, right? But on the other way around, let's say Hotez mopped the floor with RFK, I'd be like, ah, you know, the guy probably makes some sense. Maybe he is right. So it sounds a little bit to me like the reason why these people are coming so far over the top that he shouldn't debate and that he's a conspiracy theorist, it's another example of, like, the iron law of woke projection.
No, 100%, but this is another thing. I feel like the guy who's pushing the mRNA is going to have a real fucking hard time debating when all these people are dying.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's why he doesn't want to come out there, because within and you know, if I've done a lot of research and talked to a lot of doctors and talked to a lot of people who wrote literature for vaccine inserts and et cetera over this whole mRNA, and I'm pretty fucking well versed at it. So anything that's coming out of that man's mouth that I've heard him say is a fucking lie. It's a flat out lie.
Anything
I've heard him say myself, I know the facts stating around that, because I've talked to the Peter McCulloughs, I've talked to, you know, the Karen Kingstons, I've talked to all of them face to face, personal level, sit down, shook their hand, everything else, been in the same room with them, text, this, that. They're not telling you everything they're supposed to be telling you about that, and they hid it, and they made blank shit for a reason. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's suspicious that they've all solidly taken the same position that, like, this is not up to debate. Like, they've all taken that, right?
Because
it seems like if there's a chain, right? And if there's one weak link in the chain, the whole thing shatters. So they're not.
It does, though, because that's how fragile their narrative is.
They don't want there to be one weak link in the chain. So don't even bring the chain anywhere. Like, keep it away and whatnot. I want to play a video real quick, if you don't mind, of Dr. Hotez here. This will be one of the tweets of the week, and it's a video, I guess you could say, of the week. And this is by Dave Smith, and he says, I can't imagine why this guy would turn down the opportunity to debate RFK and raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for his charity. It must be because RFK is a conspiracy theorist. So roll the tape.
One of the things we're not hearing a lot about is the unique potential safety problem of coronavirus vaccines.
And then something changed.
Any vaccine released by emergency use authorization by the FDA is an outstanding vaccine.
J&J's vaccine has a risk of life-threatening blood clots.
When you hear the beep, that's the sound of safety.
So don't overthink it. They're both really good. They're all really good vaccines. Get vaccinated now.
You gotta call now.
If you wait, it's gonna be really too late to protect your child.
If this was your child, what happens next could make it the worst day of your life.
So even though COVID poses zero threat to healthy children,
vaccinate your children.
Do the right thing. Be safe and not sorry.
I'm strongly recommending for adolescents to get their two doses of vaccine and fully immunized after those two doses.
Advanced technology that can help save lives.
This is going to be a long-lasting vaccine. A long-lasting vaccine.
A few moments later.
We're seeing that two doses is not holding up well for emergency room visits. It's not holding up well for hospitalizations.
Here we go again.
Everyone's going to need a booster. You need that third immunization.
Triple the amount.
Get that third immunization. The two mRNA vaccines were always a three-dose vaccine.
I've always said this is a three-dose vaccine.
But I'm not done yet.
That third immunization, the problem is it's not holding up. So we may have to look at sort of innovative solutions.
Oh, God, not this again.
A fourth immunization, just to keep them going. To keep the country going.
We have to consider some out-of-the-box things. A fourth immunization.
Fourth?
A fourth immunization.
Get that second boost.
A second boost.
To keep the country going.
I've made that recommendation, a fourth immunization.
But I'm still not done.
One semester later.
Unfortunately, the numbers are starting to trend up again. So the hospitalizations are up. And so the most important message that I have this morning is get your new bivalent booster.
Willie and Elise were saying they got their booster, and I was like, oh, I need to get mine. And then I found out they're talking about the third shot. And is that the bivalent, or is it the fourth booster, or does it matter? Like,
don't worry so much about the number of.
There's no wrong way to use it.
You have to get it. This new bivalent booster.
You can double or triple stack them.
The new bivalent one is doing a much better job. You have to get a booster.
Yeah.
You need to get this new bivalent booster.
That bivalent booster for COVID.
But does everyone ages 12 and older need a booster?
The answer is yes.
Yes.
And by the way, if you're over 50 and have gotten two boosters, and more than two to four months out, you're going to need a third booster as well, a fifth immunization.
Five!
I don't think we're going to need an annual booster like flu.
Eventually.
Dr. Hotez supports yearly boosters, just like flu.
But I'm still not done.
It looks as though the boosters are not holding up quite as well as we'd like. And I think our thinking is going to change, and that what's going to happen is every, you know, few months, we may need another booster.
Perfect results each and every time.
You know, we just could not overcome that massive disinformation.
All right. I thought that was a great video somebody spliced together with the OxyClean guy. It's pretty fun.
That was fantastic. If you guys are watching, if you can hear it, it was good. But, you know, I mean, it speaks for itself. Like, what, yeah. like, I love how they like try to code it and just be like, oh, your third booster. That means you're fucking sixth shot.
Right. The word
a year play, and a half.
Or they just changed the number to bivalent instead.
Yes. Because yes, dude.
You know, to be honest with you, it started sounding ridiculous.
It did. Like you're like, no, nah, this can't be true. But this is real life, people. This is real life. And you know what's even scarier? You see the people that you're talking to, like looking at you, and they're like, oh yeah, yeah. I definitely need that. And Rogan had a very good point. This motherfucker who doesn't take vitamins, doesn't exercise, doesn't eat right, doesn't do anything to help himself. And hold on, let's just say it again. He's a medical doctor, so he should know more about nutrition and everything else than us normal peons, even though they don't teach nutrition in medical school, okay? Unless you're a nutritionist, right? So... yeah. This guy is telling you your only choice to make yourself healthy is to stick a needle in your arm.
And to be honest with you,
why don't they tell that to junkies all the time? They stick needles in their arms daily.
To be honest with you, I mean, that shouldn't surprise anybody, right? Like, that seems to be the new thing nowadays. Like, the policy of the regime is like, you know, eat. Here's your Shake Shack cheeseburger and get your jab. I said it's a famous line, right? I've said it on the show 1,000 times. Jen Psaki could not get the words out of her mouth when Peter Ducey asked her, how come they haven't advised people to eat healthier and work out? Like, where's the negative in that? She couldn't say it. She could not say it. She couldn't get it out of her mouth. So does it shock anyone that the guy.
Does it shock anyone that the numbers that like 70% of our population is unhealthy?
Sick.
70%. Yes. Yeah. Some form of sickness, autoimmune, obesity, diabetes, everything else. Like, I don't know, man. I'm not a smart man, but they got to be feeding us and putting some stuff in the water and giving us some stuff to like make us that. You know, how many people, you know, they go, oh, I went to Italy and I ate like a pig pasta and I lost weight.
Me.
And I lost weight.
I went there in 2017 was the last time I was there. I ate fucking pasta for every meal and pizza.
And lost weight.
And I lost weight. And yes.
And drinking and hanging
in
out.
In Italy, you do walk around a lot. It's so kind of,
dude,
the way there's
not that much
society,
more, bro.
But it, you know, the food, I don't know. I didn't feel like shit after I ate it. So, yes. Our food here.
Well, that's
is
the thing. You can eat the pasta there and not feel like shit. You have penne and vodka from a fucking restaurant. You're like, oh, like literally, you go like, I had a chicken parm last night from the local place and it's decent, you know. But like, I eat the pasta. I can't even finish the pasta anymore. Yeah. It makes me that nauseous.
Yeah, I agree too. As I'm getting a little bit older too.
Yeah,
these like sauces are really starting to affect me now. With,
around here.
Never used to bother me, but
now I'm
trying to take precautions and whatnot. So yeah, the food is not.
Yeah, because now you're taking medicine that they made for it to make you feel better, so you don't get the heartburn.
Well, I'm not taking medicine. I'm taking precautions. Like, I'm trying not to eat certain things.
Oh, I thought you put a condom on it before you go.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, knew it. Yeah. Knew it. Excellent. All right,
let's.
At least
let's
safety. Safety skags.
Safety first.
Yes, always.
Let's switch topics, man. What do you want to go into next? The Putin, Hunter Biden. What are you thinking?
Let's do Putin.
Let's do Putin. All right.
Yeah, man.
So, like I was saying before, Vladimir Putin met with like a South African delegation, which is just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed them a document. We'll play this for everybody as well. It's been translated. This is coming from Simon Atiba. He's the from Africa News Today. So I trust his translation is correct that he's posted. Let's hear what Vladimir Putin had to say.
We did not agree with the Ukrainian side that this deal would be confidential, but we also never disclosed it or commented on it. The draft of this agreement was initialed by a representative of the head of the negotiating group from Kiev. He put his signature there. Here it is. It's called the Treaty on Permanent Neutrality and Guarantees for the Security of Ukraine. It contains 18 articles, and there is also an appendix. Its provisions concern the armed forces and many other things. Everything is written there, down to units of military equipment and personnel of the armed forces. Here is the document. It is initialed. But after we withdrew troops from Kiev as promised, the Kiev authorities, as their patrons usually do, threw it all into the wastebasket of history. Where are the guarantees that they will not continue to abandon such agreements?
All right. So as with any everything,
as a Russian,
not good.
Mine neither.
Like I said, I trust the translation. It's coming from, you know, and it's not the only translation I've seen.
You know what's funny? I literally, anytime I hear anything Putin, I just send it to my friends that are like Polish and shit. And
see,
I'm like,
if they can.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and they'll be like, this is what he said. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I mean, because Polish is different than Russian, obviously, but it's close enough where like they can pick up words. Yeah, you know, it's like us going to the city and being like, you know, oh, I understand what he's saying, yep. You know?
So what Vladimir Putin is talking about here is a peace agreement signed between Ukraine and Russia back in April of 2022, only 2 months after the war began. And he's saying that they signed the peace treaty back then. And now let's take this with a grain of salt, right? This is Vladimir Putin we're talking about here. This is mm-hmm. a piece of paper we're talking mm-hmm. about here, right? Like, not that exactly he, the most.
We can't read Russian.
We can't see it, right? We can't read Russian. I'd call on Vladimir Putin. He should probably publish this paper mm-hmm. For everyone to see and read, and then like we could translate it and see exactly what the details are.
Yep.
But what's interesting about it is that it's pointing to April of 2022, which is when Boris Johnson went to Ukraine and he met with Zelensky. And there was that Fiona Hill news article piece that said that Boris Johnson went there and told Volodymyr Zelensky that, hey, fuck the peace deal. We're going to back you, fight, and we'll make sure that you guys can win the war against Russia. This kind of backs it up from the other side now, that something was in the works, a peace deal was in the works. I remember Fiona Hill's article said essentially that the deal was neutrality for Ukraine going forward with assurances from Russia. They won't attack them again. I think Russia got to like keep Crimea and the Donbass. And I think also,
which is all Russian people to begin with.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. Ukraine not only would be neutral, but they would be allowed to take in weapons from the West, from mm-hmm. Germany and US. So they lose Crimea and Donbass, but they get some weapons and an assurance from Russia, and they got to remain neutral. Like, and the war ends. The other thing I think is huge. Putin mentioned that they left Kyiv because of the peace deal. Now, if you remember at the beginning of the war, they attacked Kyiv like immediately, like that huge column of tanks and everything went down to Kyiv and attacked them. I figured, like here I am as a military tactician, that it was a distraction attack, that they attacked Kyiv in the west so that their attack on Donbass in the east, like the Ukrainian forces would go back to protect Kyiv. And they would like leave the Donbass so that the Russians could then just take it. And I figured, okay, well, they accomplished that, so they left. No, it seems like they left because they had an initial peace deal, and them leaving was apparently, as if you want to take Putin's word for it, was part of the peace deal. What are your thoughts on this whole thing, man? It's fucking crazy. There
it's
was
a
peace deal.
Fuck, dude.
2 weeks, 2 months, I'm sorry, into the war. Now here we are, a full year plus what, a couple months later, how many people dead? How many fucking trillions of dollars spent? How many close calls for nuclear war have there been already?
Yeah. So, I mean, can you take Vladimir Putin's word for it? Yeah. Like you said, if something's published and there was some more stuff behind it, you know, and then why does he wait 2 years for, you know, not two years, but over a year for that to come out? Now, I don't know. There's a lot of takes I have on this. You know, did he do this with the timing of the heat really being turned up on Biden and you're seeing his money laundering timelining with the time that he's pushing policies and he's in office and he's here and he's there, and they've been drawing out this timeline of the Biden corruption and everything that's going on, and this is just another drop in the bucket to be like, hey, this war that half the United States doesn't want, the other half that, you know, are brainwashed and thinking it's a good fucking idea, oh well, this is another thing where they said fuck it so they can take money from you and launder it in there and back to their pockets. Now you're seeing it on the geopolitical stage, just instead of the you know, our country stage, even though like our politics are the world politics, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the most part.
Yeah, like, you know, Putin knows exactly what's going on here in terms of
corruption 1,000%.
And things like that in congressional hearings.
Yeah, he's been paying motherfuckers. Him and Zelensky, they've been paying. Yeah. It's not even paying attention. They paid these people. China pays these people. Russians pay these people. The Ukrainians, we pay them apparently, so they can funnel it back. Like, this is such a scheme that's been going on for so long. And this is the other thing. This has been going on for so long. You don't think other countries know how the U.S. does business? Just like they were saying, like. You know, the Ukrainians and the Russians, like, they have a certain amount of money allocated when they're doing business deals to grease palms.
Right. They've budgeted for it.
That's just the way of doing business there. So you're doing business with all these countries that they grease palms. Like, you don't think they know how you do business?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Being a business guy, or even just being a business owner in New Jersey, like, you need to get the fucking guy to sign off on this permit, and then you got to pay $10 for this guy to do this, and then you got to pay $100 for this guy to turn on the water, and then it's like, oh, you want to use my water? Cool, pay me to turn it on. And then there's a service fee every month for the pipes that have been there for 85 fucking years for the water to run through, but it's for upkeep, and they fucking crack all the time because you never take care of them. You know, like, it's
all of those things just on the geopolitical scale. Like,
scale 100%. That's all it is.
I do think I now that we've been talking about this, I'm thinking, like, well, why now with this piece of paper with Putin? Let's go just back to the fact, like, what exactly was he doing? He was meeting with the president of South Africa and their delegation. Perhaps he's trying to win them over to his side, right? Like, you know, I know you're familiar with the fact that, like, we're fighting over the African countries, right? Like, who's going to be on what side in this new Cold War that's going on? Putin
We've
is
been
trying
fighting
to
in Africa for decades.
What I'm saying is
no
we're
clue.
Also trying to recruit, like, who's going to be on whose side, the east side or the west side. So Putin is trying to win. Yeah, he's trying to win them over, perhaps, with this paper. He mentioned also that the deal was, like, partially brokered by Erdogan in Turkey, who's in NATO. I think he's trying to possibly win over the South Africans to his side, because then that's all leverage in terms of, like, NATO and the West. But at this point
in the game, Skaggs, do these other countries don't know how much of a piece of shit we are?
Yes, they do. So right now they're trying to determine how to hedge their bets. Are we going with the U.S. or are we going with the BRICS and the Russians?
Are we going to go with the bully we know or the one we don't, right?
And that's what Vladimir Putin does. He comes with that piece of paper and he's like, you see, look, we're not so bad. We immediately wanted peace. You know what I'm trying to say? And I'm not saying that he's even lying. I'm just saying, like, that could be what's going on here.
Well, I thought, hopping back to the Rogan podcast, have you ever heard the speech of Kennedy that Robert Kennedy was talking about, of John F. Kennedy, like, basically explaining, like, we got to make Russia feel okay? Like,
yes.
They literally just leveled their whole country. Like, it was like them leveling every building from New Jersey to Chicago. And then one out of seven men in each fucking building was dead.
Yeah.
So, like, imagine that slaughter happening to your nation. Everything you owned is destroyed. Pretty much every third brother is dead. Everybody you went to high school with, 60% of the men are dead, right? All in, what, 5 years, this, like, not even a decade, just slaughtered and everything. Like, wouldn't you want to protect yourself? Wouldn't you want some reinsurance that your whole, your livelihood and nationalities and lineage and DNA would actually survive?
Right. That's exactly what they want.
Like,
to do.
You
that's
can't
exactly
hate
what's
on
happening
something.
Here.
And it's not being pro-Russian or pro-Putin. It's being pro-fucking humanity.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have some sympathy for even, like,
you have to put yourself in the other person's shoes.
Because even if there are enemies, and I've been thinking about this a lot, like, we say our enemies, we're going to go in and decimate them. And I get it from, like, a fucking violent standpoint. Like, I come with the heat, so you never want to touch me again, right? But at the same time, normal people like us are caught in the crossfire that don't want anything to do with it. But it's whose dick's bigger over here at the top? Whose dick's bigger over here at the top? They get us to fight each other and hate each other. And half the time, like, even the military age people are fighting and hating each other. But who's really taking the ass whooping? All the people that they're running through their towns, all the raping and pillaging, all that other stuff, man. It's an ugly thing, man.
Oh, yeah. War is the most ugliest thing that exists. It's fucking people go on mass murder spree. And then like old men are like, as it said, it's over just out of nowhere. It also feeds itself.
I don't that fuck you up a little bit, man.
It does. Once like they start to, once the mass murder sprees begin, then you form a beef against the person who just fucking killed your mate in the mm-hmm. trench next. Then you get like a bloodlust against it. You see how like it feeds itself. That's why we should always
100%.
Why I'm anti-war. I'm not anti-self-defense. I'm anti-war because we shouldn't want to start.
Why are we not trying to have peace?
Right.
And it's always the people that never have to get physical or the people that mm-hmm. never have like done anything like that in their life that are like, yeah, let's go after them.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, cool.
Yeah, the keyboard warrior.
You've never even been punched in the mouth
right now.
And if you did, you'd call the police that you asked to defund right. a fucking hour ago. Shut your face. Shut your face.
Yeah. So it's the same thing, like, stupidity. You know, for people who were advocating for forced vaccinations, like those people weren't going to be the ones to come and jab you in the arm. No, they were going to send men with guns.
They would have walked away from my house looking like Frankenstein with their own out of each side of their neck.
So yeah, it's just a crazy policy over there, man. And I'm always trying to, I think it's the most important, thing going on in the world right now because it could lead to the fucking end of the world.
Geo-wise, yes, because there is the.
If we don't solve this problem first, we can't solve all the other problems. Is the way I like to look at it. I just want to point out real quick that this gives more credence to what Trump is saying about how it could be ended in 24 hours. There already is even like a roadmap.
That's what I was getting at.
There's already like a roadmap like, stop dick for how riding. To end the war. I'm not trying to dick ride. Not wrong.
It's there. It's not wrong. I know.
He could be like, hey, Vlad, dust off the paper. Let's fucking put that on the table and let's go over the details. Does this work for you still? Does this work for you still? All right.
And you know what else would be a big thing, which I think would be easier to get this done as well? He goes to the little fucking Zelensky ski and he's like, hey, your money's off.
Right. It's leverage.
How do you want to negotiate this?
Yes.
Because without us, you're not going to be able to sustain this.
And he makes, because it's a negotiation, you make the same point to Putin. Hey, I'm going to turn the money off here. If I don't, you're going to still continue to have a hard time winning this thing. So mm-hmm. you have leverage over both sides. You can then use the leverage on both sides to get them to come to the table. You tell Zelensky, I'm turning the money off. You tell Putin, hey, I'm turning the money off. If you don't do what I, if you don't want to come to the table and negotiate, then I ain't going to turn the money off. You know mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say? Like, that's how a negotiation is.
1,000%. And who's the master negotiator? Yeah,
I agree. Right. Trump is in a good place. And at the moment, besides RFK, who's on the money with this as well, mm-hmm. Trump is the only... I'll just say Trump is the only candidate who's got like a good chance of actually winning who's right on this issue. Everybody else has either got no chance of winning or they're terrible on this issue. They don't have like a good position on it.
You know what I think is really cute? You still believe that elections are good.
All right. I'm saying Trump still has a chance of winning. He won the first time.
So this is the thing. If they don't want him in, he's not in. And whoever they want in is already picked.
Okay.
That's where I stand with that one.
We'll see.
And the only way to break that matrix is to really like, it's got to come from somewhere else. We're at the point. And it's got to come from the people really. But you know, I mean, there's gotta be some sort of higher intervening force.
We'll see. It is mm-hmm. going to be an interesting 2 more years, I guess.
A lot of military movement around the country lately, though. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. That's another rabbit hole.
I saw your little post today.
I saw other people also comment on your thing, making reasons as to why. I think also with the whole military movement around the country, don't forget we're fighting a proxy war against mm-hmm. Russia. Mm-hmm. How is the equipment getting to Ukraine? It's got to move from mm-hmm. the factory or wherever reserve it's in mm-hmm. on a train to a ship to go over there or whatever. So could be a little bit of it as well.
You see like another 6 billion or something ridiculous got thrown over.
Billion. Yeah. Six. Yeah. So that'll be maybe the last point on this. I actually wrote that down here.
Did you?
That Pentagon had a press conference today. I don't have it queued up, but the Pentagon said today that an accounting error provided Ukraine with an additional $6.2 billion. I just wanted to make the point that, do you remember the first time, the first aid bill, Rand Paul was the only person who opposed, and he tried to put an amendment in there that the money had to be tied to an accountant or an auditor, I believe. And the auditor was the same auditor who was in charge of the Afghanistan war, auditing the money around that. And he got shot down. They didn't entertain it. He got blackballed for the whole thing. And now look who's fucking was right again. Now you have an accounting mistake, right? An accounting mistake.
Just like at 9/11 when they lost 1.2 trillion, Rumsfeld says, and the next day their records gets fucking obliterated. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't believe it. I just find the irony in that Rand Paul wanted to put an auditor in place to avoid this. And this is exactly what happened.
You know what's wild? I haven't commented on any of the RFK stuff. I don't even think I've reposted any of the RFK stuff. I haven't done anything on Joe Rogan, anything else. I open up my Twitter. You know what the first person is? Peter Hoezek, or Hotez. Hotez,
yeah.
It just came up out of nowhere. I've never seen him on my feed, never seen him anywhere. We're talking right now about it, and it just comes up all lies, anti-vaxxer, many thanks, LA Times. Yeah, we can trust the LA Times too. Cool.
Oh, yeah. So, what
that's
do you
like saying, like, all right, or? National Choir, fucking asshole.
I have three tweets of the week, which one of them you will appreciate here.
All right, let's go on to tweets of the week. Well, no, what do we? Oh, let's do a quick on Hunter Biden.
Yeah, do it, man. I'll let you lead this one. I know about it, but I haven't researched.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just going off of what we're seeing in the in articles we're reading, etc. I mean, I'm not a legal scholar, but from all the charges that are on him now, let's break it down first. The charges, he pled like five charges down.
He pled guilty. One of them is the gun charge, right?
He pled guilty to two of them and pled down the gun charge somehow or whatever. He admitted that, you know, like, how can you not admit? There's video of you fucking smoking crack with the gun that you bought, you know? So, I mean, I'm sure if we zoomed in enough, we can get the serial numbers off the side, right? So, you know, tax evasion was one thing, which they said was Russian disinformation. And it's kind of funny how they're doing this whole scheme of, oh, there was a $5 million payment, $5 million payment. Hunter Biden gets, a slap on the wrist for tax evasion. But Joe had no clue about any of this.
It's not related to that, though. Like, these charges are not related to any of the shit that matters. Even for me, at least in my opinion, taxation is theft. So I don't even really.
1,000%.
Right? There's no such thing as gun laws, right? Because they're all an infringement. So already, like, at least two out of the five for me, I didn't give a fuck. Like, I care about the hypocrisy, of course, of Hunter Biden.
I don't care
and his
about
handling a gun when your president is trying to like ban all guns. But at the same time, fundamentally, I don't think there should be any gun laws in the country. So I don't give a fuck what Hunter. I mean, like, yes, he should be a responsible gun owner, but I don't think like he should be getting in trouble for having a gun or whatever it was he did. I think he left it somewhere right in the trash or some shit like that. Like he like left it like it, or he. Bro. He like left it behind and it got in the trash and the Secret Service came and they cleaned it up for
cleaned
him.
Cleaned it up
shit.
For him. Yeah. And like, this is the other thing. Like the Secret Service is watching this shit unfold and they're one of the highest fucking law enforcement agencies in the world. And they literally like they're the head of counterfeiting money and making sure that the currency is legit and all that stuff. They're just literally watching this scumbag fucking break every law. They're like, yeah, I'll just pick it up for you. Put it on the side. Oh, you're just taking tax money and hookers and human trafficking and all that other shit. Like that's the shit that's matters. So I don't know. I'm looking at this two ways. They're giving him a slap on the wrist now because I think he might be cooperating. I really do. I think he might be cooperating. I think there's other people that are actually cooperating and we're seeing little slaps on the wrist and we're trying to make it relevant. Like I think it's a whole thing of showing the two-tier justice system to the normies. So they start seeing because more and more people, even though you have the people on the left, like the Brooklyn Dad, the Vines, the JoJo's that are, you know, the propaganda machines that you can hit them in the face with a shovel and they're like, that was a rake. Okay, cool. Yeah. You know, like you can do that. But I think for your most normal people, like I had a friend of mine saying like that, you know, their family member is not a Trump supporter whatsoever. And they actually like, and they're more like, you know, think how we think. And they're trying to tell them and they're like, you're fucking nuts. Blah, blah. And they like literally called them and was like, yo, like there's a two-tier justice system. Like I'm watching what's happening to Trump. And this is like somebody who doesn't like him, doesn't support him. And they're like, this is not right. Like people are starting to see those things. Right. And, you know, I think he's cooperating, trying to plead these charges down. And then there was a tweet that came out and said, like, oh, pled the charges, it's all over, blah, 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 blah. And, like, the attorney general that came out and was like, no, 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 no. Like, there's still many ongoing investigations into other things. So
yeah, those are the things, in my opinion, that actually matter and are interesting, too.
Well, my other thing is like, okay, taxation is theft, 100%. Me and you are in agreement on that. Same thing with the gun laws. At the same time, though, if you're not paying your taxes on treason, I have an even bigger problem with it.
Yeah, I get that 100%.
And I always think it's funny. I don't know about you, how like these people, you know, I left, right, or center, whatever you want to say. Like, you know, I hate even saying the people on the left because I'm not the people on the right. I'm a burn it all down motherfucker. So like, the people on the left, though, they like argue about, I gave this, we gave daddy government this much more money. You need to give daddy. And my argument, and I've said this 1,000 times, is, have you ever met one person in your entire life that went to their accountant during tax season and is like, make sure I save zero money. I want to pay. Don't use any deductions. Don't use any write-offs. Just make sure I pay the government as much money as humanly possible to pay. Whether you're a fucking full-blown libtard or you're the conservative of the conservatives. Have you ever met anybody who has said that?
No. There's a little anarchist in us all, I guess, at the end of the day, right?
This is what I'm saying.
It becomes your money. Yeah. That kind of exposes the hypocrisy of the whole system, right? Those same people who are talking about, oh, you know, like billionaires should pay their fair share or whatever. Yeah. That's easy to say because it ain't your fucking money, right? But when it is your money, when it is you filing your taxes at the end of the year, you're pissed. You don't like having to owe, right? Like everybody wants a refund. But you should be pissed about that you're even getting a refund to begin with.
Oh, thank you, Daddy, for giving me my own money back.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It drives me insane. That whole debate, I know we're on the same page with that. Like, it's.
Yeah, let's not even get to it. Let's not even go there.
Dude,
I think.
Fired up.
I think maybe we have a little bit different opinion on the Hunter Biden thing. I think they're trying to, you know, he's cooperating. He's going to go down guilty. Whatever he's going to get, he's going to get.
And then they're saving Daddy.
And then he's saving Daddy. Yes, he's definitely saving Daddy to one extent. And then on the other hand, the narrative, the talking point is, you see, it's not a two-tier justice system. You see, you guys have been crying about Hunter Biden for 4 years. You see, he eventually did go down for his crimes, even though they're not the crimes everybody really cares about. There's some other stupid, dumb bullshit that don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. They're trying to create a propaganda talking point. And Joe and Hunter.
But this is the same system that told you that. And I agree with you to an extent, but this is the same system that told you that this didn't even exist and they had it.
Because
now they're parading it out and going, see, we got him, but you've had it for fucking years. And then you lied. You election interfered. You did all that other shit, saying all the other shit, saying that it was Russian disinformation. They had it for fucking years.
Yeah, but this is not the first time what this kid's doing. Either. Didn't Fauci say he never was a proponent of lockdowns? You know, like they've done that before. They've said a thing and then later they get fucking amnesia and pretend like they never said that thing before.
And you're like, what about these 28 videos of you saying this on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, this, that, etc.? They're like, I do not recall. Like, it's like anytime they're like, we're going to have an investigation and a hearing on this. And the guy getting investigated the whole time is like, I do not remember. I'll have to get back to you. Nobody can answer a yes or no question. Nobody.
Never.
And it's a joke.
Never, they're never
like,
straightforward. Yeah.
We're going to look into this. And like, they just sit there and hammer them. And all they have to do is just be like, I don't know.
And like, there's never any consequences from that either.
No. And then they have these hearings, they get a couple good talking points, and then it's on to the next thing.
Right. And you get to look good too if you're the one going after them because you like did something. Well, at least I stood up to these corrupt FBI guys, you know?
It's insane that 100%. And it's also insane that like literally their jobs all day, they're called lawmakers. Like we need that many people to continuously make more laws against us day.
What fucking law ain't on the books already? Right. Bro, they're all on the books. There's like 100 million laws.
Dude, why?
Yeah.
Like, why don't we go by like Bill of Rights, maybe like the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Throw in like a, you know, shout out fuck neighbor's wife thing and we're good to go.
Yeah, so we'll see, man. This is another thing we just got to keep an eye on and see how it plays out. And if we were right at the beginning, it's hard to tell until you see how it plays out.
Comer came out, right? Comer, he's the one doing the I was getting Comey and Comer, right? Comer. He's the he's one the doing the investigation.
Right.
Yeah, he's the, for the GOP. He was like, he had a tweet out today and he was like, don't let this bullshit distract you. We're having Durham coming in and giving a full fucking scale report on all the corruption, on all the other shit. Because you got to understand, too, like they talked about the $10 billion or $5 million, $5 million and all this other shit. And they have the bank transfers and the wire transfers. And Grassley and them have like literally like put them to Congress before Joe, like when Joe Biden was VP, they were like, yo, these wire transfers are going through, and they fucking hit it. The FBI, all them, they hit it the whole freaking time. And you know, these senators that have been in here forever know what the fuck is going on. They know it is, and they know it's been pushed down. And you're just literally watching the FBI, like the form that they were talking about, the 17 recordings, and then you have like the Krasenstein guy, like, oh, it's just hearsay of the recordings. And then they're like, oh, there's an FBI document. Oh, there is actually 17 recordings of it. Oh, they've known about it for fucking 10 years.
Right, but then he shuts his mouth. But then they also move the goalposts and they argue.
He moves it every
day. Then they argue some other sort of point, and they get amnesia as to what they just said prior to that.
I know. I love it's when people like repost their tweets of them just sticking their foot in their mouth. But they have no shame because there's no accountability for them.
They also have no shame because they don't have an authentic opinion. A lot of these guys are drifting off of the situation.
100%.
Some of them are getting paid directly from the DNC or the RNC. Mm-hmm. Some of them like
both sides
make money off of being a subversive, inauthentic person. Like, you know, just it could be profitable, like you just said before, that Hotez showing up in your feed. The algorithm has like it's recognized right now that Peter Hotez is a very controversial figure right now, and people are interacting with anything he has to say. Therefore, let's show it to more people. Therefore, more people will be engaged on the platform. At the same time, if you do that, Peter Hotez was trying to sell his book, right? The other day, he was tweeting links to his book. So you can make money off of like sharing opinions and inauthentic things and triggering people. You can trigger people and monetize triggering people to an extent if you don't really believe in the thing it is that you're using to trigger people with.
Yeah, you see Andrew Tate just got arrested for rape and human trafficking, and that Krasenstein came out, and this is what he said. He goes, I find it odd some of the same people who have been supporting Andrew Tate, who was just charged with rape and human trafficking, are some of the same ones who are mad that Hunter Biden will only likely get probation for not paying his taxes. These are also the same people who attack Hunter Ninestop, claiming he had sexual crimes on his laptop, which is actually no proof of. So
who cares about the sex or the crack stuff? It's funny. Yes, it's fucking funny. Like watching Hunter Biden was crack pipe and a hooker. But to be honest, no one really gives a shit about that. What we care about is the fucking corruption with Burisma and the
payments.
Well,
he was doing
China.
All this on the back of the corruption and funneling money.
But at the end of the day, like,
and,
you really
and being
give
a traitor to his country.
Right.
And selling
that's
his country.
That's what we
up.
Care about. Not
that's
the fact
what
that
we
he was smoking
about.
Crack. Yes, it's fucking funny he was smoking crack.
Because his father made the bill that this much threw every single black man in 1990s to the 2000s in jail for, you know, 38 fucking years because of a quarter size. And his son's out there bitching on fucking his own video on a scale with like 20 grams of crack on it. And that's like 3,000 years in prison, according to his father, you know. And he's out there with a gun smoking it, banging fucking Obama's daughters on the bed. Like, it's insane, dude. But this is the thing, too. Tate is being charged with it, and people forget, and this is a big problem, you are innocent until you are proven guilty in this country, and it's gone the other way in the court of public opinion. I've seen them say it, oh, you have to prove your innocence, and we're like, whoa, 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 we ain't the UK, motherfucker, okay? This is the United States. Like, you are innocent until it's their job to prove your guilt. Mm-hmm. It's not your job to prove your innocence, right? Now they're saying stuff like that, but in this situation as well, is like he's like, oh, all the video evidence of him off of his own laptop, in his own words, with his own credit cards, with his own fucking IP address, with his own serial numbers to his guns, with his own hooker fucking with his own money transfers, it's not proof. But they said Andrew Tate did it.
Proof. Right.
You literally contradict yourself in the same fucking tweet, you jerk off.
Yep.
I just want to head blame.
I get it. I feel you.
I'm not recommending violence.
Don't fall in the same trap the captain has fell into on Twitter, which is just like he's stuck in an algorithm of shitlib people
dude,
like that.
Dude, that's all that comes up. So
I went on.
It's not,
So let me log into your Twitter page. I'll fix it for you. I went onto the captain's Twitter page last week, and I went and followed a whole bunch of good people to kind of counterbalance it. What I realized about the captain, so let's talk some shit about him while he's not here. He's not following anyone. Like he was only following like 100-something people. So everything he was being shown is created by the algorithm. And what was he tending to look at? Things that annoyed him. The Mazensteins, the Brooklyn Dads, or whatever.
But I never even heard or seen in them until they just started popping up on my tweet. I didn't even know Krasenstein existed until like 3 months ago. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, this guy just came on my feed, and I'm like, "Who the fuck is this jerk off?" And then also, I'm seeing him, and you know how he annoys with
you,
people.
So you just see more of him.
It's a you know what's funny? You know how he engages with people?
He does. Yeah.
Never engages with me.
Yeah, of course not.
He's a little bitch. I'm challenging you to a jiu-jitsu match. Let's do it.
The YouTube jiu-jitsu match.
Fuck yeah, man.
YouTube. Let's wrap it up. Let's do
Bros versus Hoes.
I got three tweets of the week here.
Give me some good stuff. This is like my favorite part of the show, Skags.
All right, let's do it. Let me get this out of here. This fucking screen share thing is always getting away. This is from Vanta Grige. For weeks, my parents have been at war against a very resourceful rat, and I've been begging them to call pest control. But no, my dad would rather balance a banana on a 2x4 over a garbage can full of water like a fucking cartoon cat.
I fucking love it.
This one could kill me, man. This was
awesome. This is amazing.
Today. Happy Father's Day, everyone. This is like your stereotypical dad thing.
Oh, that's hilarious. I would do something like that. Yeah, fuck yeah. Well, you see that bucket thing, right? They put the feet on and they go into the bucket and they just fall in. Yep.
I've done it. I've done it before with peanut butter on a soda can, coat hanger through the soda can. You put it over the bucket, and you put peanut butter on the soda can. So, like, when a rat onto the soda can, they spin, they fall into the bucket, and then they drown in the water.
Yep.
Yeah, so I've done that before. That's some, like you said, cartoon cat.
Thank you for admitting to your mass murder.
All right. This one is by Scott Adams. This one goes down the rabbit hole, folks.
Okay, let's go.
Hypothesis. One reason RFK Jr. might never get to debate a vaccination expert is that we live in a simulation that allows multiple truths, but does not allow us to settle on one because the latter would require too much computing resources.
Oh, man. I'm blown.
Going, if we live in a simulation, so like it would, we never, I get it. We never seem to like, you know, like when you want, like there's always like that showdown you want to see, but you never get. Like it's almost like it can't happen because if it did, it would shatter the matrix. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Very much so. All right. I agree.
My final tweet of the week, and this is a doozy, folks. This is from the Los Angeles Times, and it's a tweet of a column that they wrote, and it says, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a threat to your health and our democracy.
Going after Dems.
The Los Angeles Times, to which I replied to this, and I was like, yeah.
Give them a good
facilitating
one.
A democratic process within the Democratic Party is a threat to democracy.
Well fucking played, Skags.
Yeah.
Crazy, you get some good ones out there, man. I like
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you. I love it.
You're a witty motherfucker. That's why I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate you too. Yeah. Final note, man. Like to see how the machine has all sort of coalesced around attacking RFK has made me like him that much more. And I think he's the most interesting candidate at the moment. Like I know what Trump is. I'm not saying Trump's not interesting, but at the moment, the most interesting. Like that, RFK is like the new thing that I'm interested in at the moment, and the machine is having a political pull.
Don't think they were dead; they're still running shit. I don't know, man.
The machine is having an allergic reaction to RFK. Let's just
they are. Yeah. You know, he could be that pull. Like I said, if that's the ultimate ticket, I don't think he has the ability. Just and I know this is gonna sound harsh, but like they murdered his whole family. What, you don't think they'll murder you?
Yeah, well, I mean, Rogan asked him about that.
I don't think he has. He either has the fucking biggest balls ever, and is like, "F it," right?
He might. But I don't. He might looking into him a little bit now. Like he's a conservationist. He's an outdoorsman. He's a conservationist in the term that, like, in the way that, like, I'm a conservationist. He's not an activist. Like, he likes fishing and hunting and like going for hikes and making sure that like the nature is not destroyed by stupid shit.
That's every
person.
That's 98% of the outdoorsmen in the world. They want to have the land there for their kids and everybody else to be able to, you know, have the benefits of it and everything else. So, like I said, he either has the biggest fucking balls in the world, but the only person who I know has the balls to swing is the guy who's been in there swinging.
Fair enough.
Because he's proved it.
Fair enough.
Proved himself to swing. He's proved himself to go against the grain. And, you know, on a final note with this, like, if this side don't like him and that side don't like him, that's my fucking guy.
I get it.
You know, so
they make a good ball swinging team together. Let's just
He doesn't get his, but that's the whole thing. Like, he doesn't, like, he might, people are like, oh, he's a crybaby. No, he's a fucking New Yorker. Like, everybody's always like, oh, he's a crybaby. Oh, he's loud. He's this. I'm like, you ever been to the fucking city?
Yeah.
That's just the culture. So, you know, that the boy don't he don't have a problem coming out swinging. He's been showing. He's been the only one saying, like, I'm the only one standing in between you, and we're seeing it more and more every day. Now, do I like everything? Is he hard on certain things? Does it? But, like, you don't have to like somebody's personality all the time because he's a get shit done. He gets shit done. And things he promised he came through on, you know? And
you don't have to.
I don't like everything he did. Yeah. Like, I'm not a huge vaccine guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was one of my biggest gripes with him. You know,
none of these guys are above being held accountable. I just did a
podcast
with Benji from Pilsner Politics, where we tried to hold them accountable.
Not at all. And we talk shit when we see something go awry. Like, yo, bro, what are you doing?
Right. Same thing goes for RFK. And I'll make the point, you don't have to like the guy's voice either. You don't have to like his voice to like what he's saying.
Yeah. So, just speed up your podcast and then he sounds normal.
All right. I think that's our show, everybody. Don't forget to go check out the Sergeant and the Samurai podcast and the Two Doomed Men podcast. Garrett, thank you for doing this with me today. And
always a pleasure, my man. It's always great to sit down with you, homie.
All right. So long, everybody.
It's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers. Those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. They use terms like we must accept a greater government activity in the affairs of the people. This was the very thing the Founding Fathers sought to minimize. They knew that governments don't control things. A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when a government sets out to do that, it must use the full power of centralized government. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape. This is the last stand on Earth.